Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
All right, always a great time on Sports Talk when we get to that Wednesday night when we have an edition of SC Wild from the Department of Natural Resources, one of our partners here on Sports Talk. Great group to be aligned with. And, of course, we welcome in the Major Billy Downer from DNR joining us tonight from North Carolina. Are you on a little vacation, sir?
I am. I'm in Southport.
Nice.
First time I've ever been here. So, yeah, different.
Where is it and what are you doing?
So, out of a restaurant, actually, believe it or not, in Southport, right there at the, it's the same place they did the movie from, I can't remember it, Safe Haven. So it's pretty neat.
And are you there, like, to fish or just sit on the beach or what are you doing?
Just enjoy time with some friends and family.
Nice. Nice. Well, I hope you enjoy yourself. You deserve a break from everything. How's your weather? Because, you know, we've had a bunch of storms here in South Carolina.
It's nice and sunny and windy here. Wind's always blowing in North Carolina, it seems like. So it's very windy, but very hot. So no storms here.
Yeah, yeah. Believe me, we've got them all here for you, so don't you worry. All right, Major Downer is with us. And if you have a comment, question, or observation for him, phone number 888-898-2525 is the number. In fact, Major, we've got a caller on the line. Before we get to your guest, if it's okay, we'd like to go ahead and get the caller in to you. Let him ask his questions, and then we'll get to your guest. All right, so we're going to go to where are we going, Pat? You tell us what we're doing.
So we are going to Tar Heel, and apologies, Tar Heel, you are on the road somewhere. I could not hear the name of the specific town, but Tar Heel.
Tar Heel, you're on the road with Major, on the phone with Major Downer, talking SC Wild here tonight. How are you?
I'm good, man. And I tell you, I was in the little town of Pamplico, South Carolina, which I'm sure the Major knows about where that is. And I tell you, hats off to you guys, because I really feel like y'all might be understaffed. But I don't know of a state better than South Carolina to hunt, to fish, to enjoy the outdoors and the wildlife like South Carolina. We have a duck impoundment. We do deer hunts. We take kids to turkey hunt. And it's just a pleasure and amazing to see young kids get an opportunity to be outdoors and see all the things that South Carolina has to offer. And I wanted to ask, you know, y'all have had some rules and regulations change. Have you got any kickback on that with the tagging system for deer? And because we love it, I think it's the right way to go. But I wanted to hear what your thoughts were. And then can the state of South Carolina invest a little bit more in more DNR agents to be there for questions and problems and issues that might be around for us to get help when we need it?
Good questions. Major, go right ahead.
All right, so the first question was about tagging system. And I think it was actually get kickbacks on tags. So tags, you know, the tags that
pushback. Sorry to interrupt you. He was asking if you were getting pushback, okay, like criticism from it.
No, we have not gotten any pushback. In fact, there's been a lot of support for electronic tagging. I think most of our officers are in favor of that as well, because it helps folks. It's just easier. People are used to electronic age now. So electronic tagging started with our turkey season this year for the first time, and I think it went pretty smoothly. So I look to see that in the future. We've got to have a regulation change approved by the and a change in the law approved by the legislature before we can move to deer tags by electronic tagging. Interesting, though, that states that have gone to electronic tagging, Alabama actually went back to paper and electronic tags based on the hunters in the state requested it. They wanted to do both. So it's kind of interesting. I wonder what our hunting public thinks about that, if they would want to do both or just electronic tags. But there's that question. I do know the legislature this year, they did approve a new class of officers for us. So there will be an increase in officers again, which is a good thing. A really great budget passed by the state this year. So we will be having another class of officers. We're in the midst of the next hiring phase now. just opened up. It will be open through through the end of June. Again, a lot of minimums out there, but 4-year degree, 2-year degree, 2 years law enforcement, 2 years military, or 4 years military, 4 years law enforcement, or a minimum of 30 hours and no degree to apply. So go to dnr.sc.gov and look at careers under law enforcement.
Well, that's great.
I think that hits the highlights.
Fun, guys, I hope y'all have a good one.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Tar Hizzle. Appreciate that. Obviously a North Carolina fan there, Major, if you didn't catch that from the name Tar Hizzle. Okay, so we have been building up tonight's program to be about Gators around South Carolina, and you have a special guest to bring on board to do just that. Go right ahead.
Jay Butfalaski is with us tonight. He has been responsible for our alligator program for quite some time now. Jay, thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Sure. Thanks. I'm glad to be here. And I've actually have some alligator duties who we now have an alligator project leader and another alligator biologist we just recently hired from Texas. But I still have a lot of input and a lot of dealings with the alligator lottery operation and issues of tags and all those. So, and that just wrapped up. People were just notified about a week ago of whether they were successful or not.
Right. And didn't you say we had an increase in participants this year in the alligator program as far as a tag program?
Yeah, actually we had, and it was a little quirk of the new system that we actually undercounted the people who didn't put, who drew for points only, but we had 9,152 people apply this year. Which
you
have
filled 9,152 people.
Hmm.
Yeah, almost 800 person increase from the previous
year,
which was a record then.
And so Jay, this is one of the ways. This is one of the ways we manage our populations by allowing the lottery tag, right?
Yeah, we have kind of a four-pronged approach to it. We have, of course, the nuisance system where, you know, for problem alligators that pop up. We have a private lands program for people with large acreages of alligator habitat because, you know, one tag at a time is not going to do much for them. So it's kind of similar to doe tags or deer quota tags. Tags are actually issued to the property owner. Or the property manager, so they can manage their alligators on their properties. And then we have our, along with the nuisance, we have an emergency program where we will dispatch agents when we have an alligator in a place where it doesn't need to be, not necessarily in someone's yard, but in a place, you know, it could be in the middle of a highway, it could be in a shopping center parking lot. So we actually dispatch an agent to go get those and move those alligators. And then, of course, we have our public lands lottery, which we're kind of talking about here, which the general public can hunt alligators with a limited draw opportunity on public waters.
Right. So, you know, Phil, we talk about it all the time, and I'm sure you got questions, but, you know, it was about 5 or 6 years ago, I could say that in the state we never had a person – that was killed by an alligator.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, in recent years, that's changed. Our alligator population is about, Jay, it's about 100,000, is that correct, somewhere around there?
Yeah, give estimate? Or take. You know, that was always, you know, an estimate based on habitat, and, you know, there's certainly some fluctuations in that. But that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, what the public tolerates, you know, could certainly be lower than that, but... regardless, you know, we try to be reactive when we can and proactive when we can. But, you know, unfortunately, some of these accidents happen, and you know, sometimes there's not a lot you can do about them.
No, I know. And, well, the point I was going to make, Phil, we talk about this every year. We talk to folks about what they should do to avoid an alligator interaction or a negative encounter. And it's not necessarily that alligators are spreading that these incidents occur. It's more that people are moving into areas where alligators frequent and are not cognizant and are not, just don't use their heads sometimes. For instance, we had one recently, individual swimming with his dog and in the lake, Lake Moultrie, I believe. And the dog, the alligator was going, came up, was headed for the dog. We've talked about that, Phil. How many times I've said, dogs are on the menu. I mean, when an alligator sees a dog, they're thinking food. Well, the owner began to thrash his hands and beat the water to get the attention off the dog. It worked. And the alligator came at him. Mm. He did fortunately survive that incident, but he got bit in the head and the shoulder. Mm. I mean, just not a good encounter, but again,
right. And very
can be avoided.
I believe that was a 12.5-foot alligator.
That's correct, 12'6". And we did remove the alligator after the fact. He is no longer with us, but just an example of just, swimming with your dog in the lake, not necessarily the best thing when you got alligators around. So you just got to be careful. And again, we've had the instance in the last year or so with folks that despite the signs that say beware of the alligator, they take their alligator down to the edge, they take their dog down to the edge of the water where their alligators are frequent, large alligators. And that encounter a year or two ago did not end well. And again, it could easily be avoided. And we had a lady that went to reach down and put her hand on top of the alligator just to pet it for some reason. And that did not end well. These are things that can be avoided. Remember, they've got a brain the size of a walnut, and it tells them two things: eat and reproduce. They don't think a whole lot.
Now, let me ask the two of you this, and you've said this before, Major, that the alligators, they don't move very far from the coast of South Carolina. They're primarily in the lowlands, the low country area. So if you're down that way along the coast or a little bit inland, and you're hanging out around ponds and lakes and things like that, would it not be safe to assume that most likely that body of water has alligators in it if you don't see any signs posted?
Yes. Certainly in the low country, for sure. We talked about that, Jay, and I talked about this earlier today before we did the show. Most of the time, the 20 I-20 corridor is kind of the line, so to speak. As it comes up from Georgia to Columbia and then kind of on up, Jay, would you like to say 77 almost kind of?
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially the fall line.
Line of South Carolina, correct.
It kind of bisects the state parallel to the coast. And
basically, that's because of the weather.
Well, it's a physiographic region, and you get slower moving streams and less rapids and things like that. And anywhere from there on to the coast, you're likely to encounter alligators. Obviously, there's more and more as you get towards the coast, especially some of the freshwater marshes. But anywhere from the Midlands on down, you could encounter an alligator.
That's right. So, again, just to reiterate, folks, if you have problem alligators, we've got ways to remove those. Now, what's a problem alligator? For some people, an alligator, period, is a problem alligator. If they see an alligator, they want it removed. And, alligators are part of our ecosystem. They're here for a reason, despite what people may think. They're here, when they're smaller, they eat turtles and snakes. It's what the mainstay of their diet is. When they get larger, they are opportunistic sometimes. But typically, they're eating, that's still their mainstay of their diet. Am I not correcting that, Jay?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as you get bigger, the items that you can eat get larger. And sometimes it depends on where you're at, small mammals, even larger mammals at times, but certainly still turtles and whatever they can get their mouth on.
Right. But smaller gators are good for ponds because they remove turtles. I mean, people, that want to remove turtles in ponds. So alligators aren't necessarily bad, and they do eat snakes. I mean, so that's a good thing. A lot of people don't like snakes. You got to kind of choose what you like or hate worse.
Now, let me ask you a quick question, the two of you. Let me ask you this question real quick if I may jump in. And you have a question for our guest tonight from DNR, 888-898-2525. You mentioned this earlier, and I see this in the reports because I always jump to attention when I see a report about an alligator attack. And DNR goes in, investigates, and as they say, remove the alligator, euthanize the alligator. And my thought is, okay, I get it. But is it really the Gator's fault when you should – I mean, is it the Gator's fault? Should he face the ultimate penalty for just doing what's natural to him and people invading his territory there, Major?
Well, it's not. That's the point we're making. Again, they don't have a brain that tells them a whole lot. And so they're just doing what they do naturally. And now the problem we have is people are moving into areas and are there more often. Our coastal areas where folks are building these very nice housing developments all around, they want those natural marsh look views. And with those natural marsh views and with those natural saltwater areas come alligators. And then they get very upset when an alligator shows up on a golf course where he was the whole time before the golf course got created. So that is, Jay could tell you, that is probably for us managing people is the hardest thing in our job. In fact, more than managing animals sometimes is managing the human-animal interaction. So it's just hard. Alligators get a bad rap. Do they do some things that we don't like? Absolutely. But when folks see a big alligator and they don't give it its due space and something happens, you got to kind of go, you know, maybe I should have thought a little better here. Don't take your dogs down to the edge of the water where alligators are. You just don't do it, especially little lap dogs and things, because those are definitely taste like chicken. That's an easy meal. But typically, alligators, I want to say 8 foot is the range we used to always, as officers, would look at for removing from somewhere. But I will say that smaller ones will come after splashes in the water. Again, they don't have a lot of brain. They hear a splash, they're going to come investigate it. And if I got my dog in the water, whether it's an 80-pound lab or a 40-pound Boykin, and an alligator's 4 foot long comes to investigate, I don't want my dog in the water either, because I don't want a 4 foot alligator to hurt my dog. It may not kill my dog, but it certainly can hurt my dog. So you just got to use your head and be wary about that. Jay, you got any thoughts on that? That's about my best view of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, we get, you know, as certainly as more people move into the state, and, you know, we get a lot more complaints, but that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot of them we get complaints, because we do get a lot of complaints about alligators basking on the side of a pond, which is extremely common in low country. And we typically don't respond to those, although, you know, we do have mechanisms for private property, so they can remove gators that they deem to be a problem. But yeah, as the Major said, we actually used to not really issue any kind of permit for anything, you know, less than 6 feet, because they're really not a threat to anything. But, you know, it is tough to deal with people sometimes. And we can't take into consideration all the things that someone might do. You know, we try our best. We try to provide signage for properties. To warn people, especially people who are not familiar with the coast and the alligators on the coast. But, you know, sometimes there's only so much you can do.
Absolutely. I can vouch for our folks, our biologists throughout the coastal regions. My good friend Sam Tapler, Jay, a lot of the folks at work do the best they can to help with those signages that we provide, you know, a warning, alligators in the area, those kind of things. And we do the best we can. But after all, they're a wild animal, and they do what they do. Jay, a little bit about alligator, just the lifespan. Alligators basically have what kind of cluster eggs do they lay a year?
Well, you know, anywhere from 40, 45, about 10 months. But we've got some females at the Alpi Center. Phil Wilkinson, a longtime retired alligator biologist, another biologist with the department, he tagged back in the 80s, and those animals are still laying eggs. And,
wow.
You know, they've actually written a paper or two about that, because that was believed to be way longer than what you would expect. And, you know, so they've got some and those animals were big when they caught them. So they weren't young alligators at the time.
They were full-grown, large alligators. And what's unique about Yawkey is there is no hunting, and for the most part, they don't remove alligators. Now, certainly some of them do leave and are accessible to public hunters because there are public waterways nearby, but they do have some long-term animals and long-term data from that property that they've captured, and they're still capturing some and dealing with some on the property as far as research-wise. But they've caught some alligators for a very long time that have been marked, so they know it's the same ones.
Guys, quick question, if I may jump in and ask you something. Specifically down at Edisto Beach, South Carolina, or Edisto Island, families, I've grown up down there, parents before me, grandparents before them. My point is there has been the Serpentarium down there when you're coming onto the island for a little over a decade now, maybe closer to 20 years. In my life, my parents' life, we grew up on that creek right there off Peters Point Road behind the Serpentarium. Never seen a single alligator. Well, now, a couple years ago, saw my very first one. It was a little baby. I went and talked to the Serpentarium people. They told me that they had a few escape. My question is there anything that I or residents nearby can do about that? Or is that just kind of, like, is there anything that
they
can fall on them?
They said they had some escape.
Yes, that is exactly escape? Exactly what they told me, was that they had a few babies escape, and they got into the creek.
Well, let me assure you that there were alligators there, even if you didn't see it.
I can promise you. I suspect.
I can promise you that has been an alligator habitat for 100-plus years. That is not somewhere they got released. They were there already. So the fact that you didn't see any, maybe you should have played the lottery. Before we quit, let me say this. This is important for folks to understand the biggest thing we can do, or the message we need to tell folks about avoiding negative human alligator interaction, is do not feed alligators, period. End of story. You don't feed them bread. You don't feed them off. You know, you go to these places and you see alligator signs, and you see people on the side of the road just throwing food out in the water. Don't do that. Alligators have a natural fear of humans, period. When you start feeding them, they start associating food with that human being. And so now when they see a human, they're coming to it for food.
Yeah.
And that's just not a good situation. The other thing is, in that same tone, if you own a property on the lake, do not clean fish on your dock and then dump the guts in the water.
Mm.
You are asking for an alligator to come up for an easy meal. That's just what they're going to do. And again, they associate the fact when a human comes out on that dock, man, woman, whatever, the next thing he knows, that's food in the water. So a lot of times when we have complaints of alligators hanging out in front of a dock, particularly this time of year when boating traffic is at a high point, and alligators typically hide. They don't get out in this kind of now, and boats are everywhere. They know better than that.
Let me throw this in
they
as well.
Come out.
In Georgetown on the boardwalk where you got restaurants and you sit outside, I mean, I've been to a restaurant there, and there's an alligator down below us there. They kind of treat him like a pet. And, I mean, that's okay, huh?
No, that's not okay. That's exactly the point we're making. That's not okay because you're removing that natural fear, which is our biggest defense against alligators, that natural fear they have of us. They don't want to hang around until they all of a sudden figure out that, hey, food, people, this is all good.
Yeah.
And actually, it's against the law, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we're sitting there, and if you can throw stuff in the bay there, and that gator is just – and he's in there interacting with the – what else are in there? Maybe ducks or something? I don't know.
Phil, let me ask you a question. It's very important now.
Okay.
You're on the air. We're recording this. Did you feed the alligator?
I think I probably threw a French fry or two in there, yes.
Phil, that's not good.
Don't do that, huh?
Phil, we're gonna do. I'm gonna have to come to the station now.
And spank me. And spank.
This is not good, Phil.
Hey, we gotta go,
we
guys.
We may be able to get sound of click click on the radio. Yeah,
Major, you want to tell your guest bye?
Oh, we gotta go.
Yeah.
How quick we gotta leave now?
10 seconds. You got 10 seconds.
Well, Jay, thanks for being on the show today, tonight.
Sure.
I appreciate
enjoyed it.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Rule of the day, leave the alligators alone.
You got it. Enjoy your vacation. We'll see you tomorrow.